Beach. How are you guys doing this morning? That's Sam's way to say, let's get going. Hey, good morning. Welcome. My name is Jason. It's an honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Hope of the Beach Church. Glad you're here with us, those joining online. Great to have you with us also. Hey, this is, we gather, this is a no judgment zone. And it's just a place that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be who you are and worship in a way that's meaningful for you. We just really want to help you connect to Jesus, because in Jesus there's abundant life, and He awakens our hearts to it by the power of His Spirit and His Word, and by which we gather in. And so as we recognize His presence, we also want to recognize your presence with us. And so whether you're online or not or here, we have a connection card, and it would be so nice if you could fill it out. We can recognize your presence with us. Love to hear what brought you here, and if you're a regular member, it's just nice to know you're here with us. We're in a series talking about the gift of Christmas, really, and today we're going to talk about the gift of peace. And so if you like, I invite you to stand with me as we begin our worship together. And the verse that's in your worship folder, I want to just kind of meditate a little bit on and focus in. The Lord gives His people strength. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Lord, we come here in a place that's gorgeous, and we could say, this is peace. But we also know this place can have hurricanes and storms and be gone. There's only a peace that is lasting with You. That goes deeper than circumstances and goes beyond it. And so, Lord, we acknowledge Your presence here and where You are. You're a God of peace. A God who's made peace before we even asked and gives it generously. And so, God, we ask You to pour out Your peace on us today, that we may be Your people of peace this holiday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rusty merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, He is Jesus. He's a hope for all mankind.
Oh, turning with Thee, Thou changest not Thy compassion, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy sees thy all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Lord, you are faithful, and we come and praise you, for we are grateful for you, what you have done and continue to do, for what you have provided, not just earthly things, but eternal things in your Son Jesus and his gift of peace. Now, Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive your word today, that this peace may evermore define us and be in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I invite you, if you want to open up your outline and follow along. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's good to hear. We had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for the break and for Will and the team. We went to Nashville and had my whole family and my immediate kids and grandkids and Christy's whole side of family, 37 of us, four generations. And in our Thanksgiving celebration, we squeezed in a baby shower and a birthday for the one grandchild of nine, the other birthday for the one who's one. And Christy did this amazing job of keeping tabs and everything going, the rooms, etc. And every once in a while, Christy come to me and she says, "Hey, just, you know, Bart had to fly out, so now Kayla's with all the three, four kids. Can you go help her? And oh, by the way, Hunter wants to get with you, and you need a time with Jason. And then Jacob needs some help, and they were looking for you for this. And Papa's not feeling good. Would you go check on Papa? And Grandma's off with the aunts, but I'm not sure she's happy or she wants to stay there. Will you go over there? And by the way, we got to need to go to the store. So where do you want to start?" And my answer was, none of the above. I can't be a nanny, a butler, a bartender, a head chef, healthcare provider, entertainer, coordinator. It's a vacation. I just want some peace and quiet. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, that was my inside voice that said that. All right. But seriously, have you been there? Have you been there? Where, like, I mean, there's just so much chaos and things going on. I just need to be left alone. I need my own time. I need to get some peace. And the question I have for you is that really biblical peace? Is that the peace that God gives? Well, today, I want to lead us in a discussion to the Christmas story here of what it is to have God's peace and had the gift of his peace. So let's discover it together. Look at your top notes, Luke 2, 8 to 20. He says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths
and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel of multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And when angels went away from them and into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told him. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told to them. You know, it's observation. It was an ordinary night that became extraordinary. It was an ordinary night. It says, in the same region where the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch of their flock by night. And maybe this is not a nuance for you, but it a little bit is for me, because I was raised with this idea. I've heard the Christmas story presented to me over and over again, as this idea that this time is very chaotic. It's an incredibly stressful moment. And the shepherds are under this stress, distress. And yet we look at the scripture, we see the words, it says, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. I mean, they were, in an ordinary day, doing their job. Their work is providing, protecting their sheep. Now they're doing it overnight. And that was normal. And it could be that, man, it's a little stressful, you could say, because now they got to protect it from more wildlife during the night. But again, it's their job. It's what they know. They're skilled at. They've been doing this probably since they were little. Perhaps they're a little tired because of the long hours. Shepherding was long hours. And sometimes they would stay out with the sheep for numerous days in a row and not come home. And you could say, well, maybe there's this chaotic stressful because the shepherds are poor. And since they're poor, we would assume perhaps life worries are burning them. But even that's reading a lot into the text. It really appears that they were just an ordinary night. Every day, night, shepherding. They're watching. They're not watching their flock in fear. They're nor worried or stressed about the flock or the family. And here's a little observation, is that especially with the Christmas story that we maybe heard so often, and it happens with other parts of Scripture, that I suggest we tend to put ourselves into the text. We tend to take our chaos, our emotions, and put them into the text, and we assume that it had to be a stressful time because that's what we feel. And we assume that if they're poor and working, then there has to be stress, anxiety, worries, because that's what life brings. If you don't have enough money, then you have more of those stress and anxieties. And after all, I mean, a struggling shepherd makes a better story, doesn't it? But the ordinary became extraordinary, not because of some shepherds, but because of God. And so we see in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, while it's true, like an angel just appearing out of nowhere on an ordinary day would be kind of fearful of its own, but that's really not what they're scared of. That's really not what is moving. The angel would maybe be scary for a moment, but then you kind of come like, I'm either dreaming or this is something awesome, right? But that wasn't their fearful fault. B, the fearful thing is the shepherds respond in fear to the glory of the Lord. It was the presence of God there that brought them fear. For these shepherds in this region were Jews. And Jews grew up with a fear for the glory of the Lord, the fear of the presence of God. I mean, they understood the power and magnitude of God's presence. And it was honored, and it was respected, and it was feared. for the presence of God they know very well that was in that tabernacle, the Ark of Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. And his presence was so terrifying, right, that even the priest who could go in there on that one day for atonement would have a rope tied around his ankle in case he did something wrong and he was killed in the presence of the Lord. There wouldn't be guys going there and stacking up. They could pull him out and they would all be safe. I mean, the presence of God was so powerful, even Moses, the patriarch, couldn't see God directly, look at his face. He had to like be on the look at his backside as he went by. But even as Moses, Moses has spent time with God, the glory of him was just so overwhelming. He put a veil on. And even when they moved the ark where God moved it, you had Yusra, who touched the ark when he thought it was falling, did it disrespectfully, and he died. And when Aziri brought great fear of this presence of God is that it was speaking. The Lord hadn't spoke for over 400 years directly to his people. See, it wasn't the angels that was going to change their life, but the message of the angels. This fear not. I come in peace. It's just a reminder that it is God and is God's word that changes hearts. It's not the delivery system. And where God's word is, God's presence is, his powerful presence, the glory of the Lord. And what I find interesting in our days is if you look in the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, we see God working this miraculous, spectacular ways. I mean, this story is pretty incredible, the way we visualize the angels. I mean, that's amazing, and the multitudes, and then the glory of God shining. It's a spectacular event. And yet we look in our world today, and it was a world that was very simple. Now we look at our world today that has a lot of miraculous, spectacular, incredible tech entertainment. And yet God works in very simple means. His word with water, his word with bread and wine, his word in ordinary people. This is where his glory is at. This is where his reputation is. This is where his presence is at. And so it raises the question as we kind of enter in this text is, what kind of people are we? Are we people of peace, or are we people of fear? Do people come into our presence, and do they come into a greater presence, and they feel the calm, the strength, they get comfort, the hope, the joy? They don't. Or do they come into a place of fear, of worry, and anxiety, of life's problems and issues? Politics, economy, health, etc. See, seeing your notes, I think, is that we lack peace because we fear the message of the world more than God's message. The shepherds feared and honored God's message because of his presence was there. They understood that. And so what is that message that gave them such peace? D is that Jesus made peace with God for all people. Verse 10, he says, an angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What a relief, all. For us lowly shepherds, us on the outskirts, the outsides, us that are kind of shunned from society, that God is for all people. That message is not just for the religious, the ones in power, the rich, the famous, but for all. I saw the movie, The Christmas Patch. Anybody see that movie yet? No one. Great. I'm going to give you a promo for you to go. But when I saw the movie and just want to highly recommend it. But here's a bonus thing for it. If you go see the movie, guess what character Christy played in the college play, The Christmas Pageant. You get that extra bonus there. But the plot of the movie is like this little town and this little church survives by the success of this Christmas pageant. And it's the 75th anniversary, so now it's incredibly significant. And the highly respected, skilled director gets hurt and is unable to lead the pageant, and she passes on these duties to an inexperienced, soft-spoken, not-so-popular mom. If that's not bad enough, the pageant is hijacked by the bad, dirty, evil, rude, ungodly kids in town who bully their way into it to be the main characters. Ooh. And they know nothing about Jesus, don't know how to act. It's a disaster in the making. And so the church people are in fear, and they are against them. They are against the director. And it's this huge conflict of how it's going to resolve, how it's going to come out. But the lining of the story is they all learn that Jesus came for all. And the church learns that all means those are different, and those are who may be that dirty, who've done evil, who've done wrong. And those on the outside understand that Jesus is for them. This is the great news. This is the great news that we hold up, right? John 3:16, that Jesus came, God gave his only begotten son to die, right? His only son to die for all the world to have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. This is the good news for all. And it continues on, that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Look, this is a baby. This is a human baby in the flesh, just like you, but this is not some ordinary baby. This is the one who has been promised in the line of King David, and he's pointing to this as another kind of king. You can't see it. He's not some earthly king, but he is Christ the Lord. He is a greater king. He is superior above all. Paul writes in Colossians this way, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ." Christ is fully God. Don't miss this. This is some little cute little baby. It's a great little story, and we like to keep Jesus a baby because then he doesn't have to lord over us, and we can kind of keep him in a human sense that we can understand and get a hold of and not have to be lord over us. But this is a baby in the fullness of God. He's all power. And it's through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This word, this powerful word of God that's been there since there was no beginning, has always been there. His eternity, the word in which by all things were created and given life, was the word that took flesh and lived perfectly and was the ultimate perfect sacrifice. By his blood being shed, it paid the price. It reconciled the accounts of our debt to sin in order that you and I in this world could be brought back into peace with God. A righteous God who is righteous to be angry, who's righteous to judge, because we broke away, not him. And you know, we broke away and we sinned. God sends Christ to restore us, to bring us back in harmony with self, to bring us back into a right relationship with him, that now we can have peace and unity with God. This is the great news. And that God gives a sign, a visible means to know his promise is true. He gives that to the shepherds. And look, verse 12, "And this is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This is a sign to know that the direct revelation, the words that I have given to you, are true. That you know the glory of God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of love and truth who steps into humanity, who doesn't stay off in the lofty highest of heavens, but comes to the dirtiness and the filthiness of our earth and our places and intervenes to bring salvation, to change history. It's a reminder for us as believers is that who we are to worship. For it's God alone who is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. Our worship should be directed. and who are we? But not only do we have this baby in a manger, but we have so much more. Number one, we have a divine sign of a cross. This shows God's divine intervention for man. The cross, God restores what we disrupted by our sins. He restored our relationship, even so much that the curtain in the Holy of Holies is torn apart. No longer is there separation, but there's peace for all. God shows no sin is too great for His grace. No sin for sinner is too far for His grace and peace. In verse 13, and suddenly there was an angel, multitudes of the heavens host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace among those whom He is pleased. Or maybe you've heard it so much, you know the other translation, to those whom His favor rests. I don't know, but that verse always is a struggle for me. It, like, wait a minute, God's for all, but then there's only what? The ones He's only pleased? Or His favor only rests on some? What the angels announce is that God's favor and grace, His unmerited love towards humanity, is there for all. But the point about who His favor rests, or those who He is pleased, is those who respond to His gift with belief and acceptance of it. Those who respond with faith and say, yes, He is the Christ. He is the one that brings peace. And so it points to kind of the selective nature of peace, why it's available for all. It only manifests in those lives who embrace this divine gift offered through Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus came, right? Jesus gives the gift of peace to us, to you. John, it's our memory verse 14:27. Let's read it aloud. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. He comes and gives peace and makes peace and reminds us that, man, we are not to be troubled because God has given us peace in our heart, in our mind, in our fullness of us. See, this is a little reminder that while we come and we are to worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God commands us to worship, He commands us to praise, but He is not in need of our praise. He's not saying, hey, you got to do this because of everything I've done for you. Then this is, I have to do it. And so many people come to worship. Like, I was such a sinner so bad. I got to worship. I got to do this. I messed up this week. I need to come and worship Him. And He, I owe this to Him. No, you got to understand, we worship. And God commands us to worship because it's in worship God works. To continue to bring His peace to us. His gifts of love and mercy, unmerited favor and grace that we so often forget and lose in life. He comes to restore and reconcile again. Because we need it. So what is this gift of peace that Christ brings? F. Jesus' peace gives us security. Security to go, number one. Security to go. Look at the shepherds, verse 15. When the angels went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went in haste. And so God is a God of revelation. He reveals to them in His word what has happened. And they respond and they go in haste. Haste, this excessive speed, this urgency. And they did it so fast, and this might, for those who are structured, they didn't even make a plan. No one looked at the Google map and said, how long will this take? What is the best route we should go? They didn't say, do we have enough provisions? They didn't even think through who could watch the sheep. I mean, they could have drawn straws for somebody to stay behind to keep watch over their livelihood. But they abandoned everything, left everything there, and just went. I mean, the image to me is almost as is like the shepherds and the good shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep who leaves the 99 to go after the one that was lost. But these left the 99 to go for the one who came to save the lost. They're so precious, so valuable. They ran to the Prince of Peace. This is the peace that God gives, that gives us security in who we are and what we are and what we are to do. So each of us has a unique calling from God. He's created you that only you can fulfill. And God's calling that comes by the Holy Spirit, comes through His word of revelation. It comes through those nudges, and it comes through those times where you go, man, I probably wish I would have done that, or these passions or desires to make a difference or to help. However, many of you are waiting for the right moment. Many of you are waiting to when it fits into your plan, when you get all the ducks or the sheep lined up right, in order before you can pursue His calling. You say, yeah, I know this. I got this burning. I feel like I want to do this, but I got to finish. I got to do my plan. I got to complete my plan. I have our responsibilities, and these responsibilities and our plans, we lean on them. They give a sense of security. But that security doesn't move us forward in our calling. And that things that we call security are actually a prison that hold us back to what God is moving into our lives. So sometimes you have to be obedient to a calling and trust, and God will take care of the rest. You got to let go of what your plan of your day is for that extraordinary thing that God has. Shepherds left all, their whole livelihood, because they had peace. And that gave them security to go. And so what is holding you? What is holding you back from walking in that peace, ready to go, to drop anything, to leave the ordinary, to go to the extraordinary in your life? Jesus' peace gives us, too, strength to love. In 16b, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I find it very interesting in Luke's account. I mean, Luke gives the most detailed account of the story, and yet he doesn't mention other visitors. The wise men are way later. I mean, they're in Joseph's hometown. You have family here. They're in a room that is really believed to be an extension of the house that is heated. It is a stable, but it's a place where the animals came from the desert climate into a covered area with heat to get out of the cold so they could survive through the night. And yet, they're by family, near family, but there's no mention of them. Now, it could be it wasn't significant to the salvation story. Could be. But yet I find it interesting that these shepherds are there, these strangers, and they're welcomed and loved by Mary and Joseph. See, Jesus brings peace, enables us to love others, to make room for others in our life who normally wouldn't give the time of day. His love moves even to forgive what others have done. I mean, I think it's not out of just human tradition that people gather at Christmas. Because that's what peace does. Peace pulls us together. God's peace enables us to come together and want to come together for something greater, and enables us to love others. Ephesians 2, Paul writes, "For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles," which, remember, they were enemies, "into one people when in His own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." We're not Jews and Gentiles, but we have people we have hostility with, even in our families. So what walls or wall of hostility needs to be broken down in your life? Is it a political wall, a religious wall, a wall of anger, a wall of hurt, a wall of bias, or racism? Remember, while we were still sinners, God broke the wall of hostility that separated us. He made peace, and peace strengthens us to love, and to love not like we can, but to love like He does. Because we have received that love in Jesus. Jesus Christ's peace, number three, is serenity to be. Serenity is defined by a calm, a peaceful, untroubled. I like that, untroubled. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I mean, Mary is a young, new mom, away from home, had her first child with no doctor or hospital, no family, no home, no crib, with uncertain future, and spending the first night in a stable with animals who do what animals do. And yet she treasured all these things and pondered in her heart. She was storing in her heart God's word, what God had done. She was putting in her heart that she would not forget this moment of the word of peace that came to her that filled her. God's word that came through the shepherds that affirmed her of what God was doing in this moment, had promised and was doing. Mary was taking account of what she had in God, and she wasn't worried about what she didn't have. Mostly like this, Apostle Paul says this. In Colossians 3:2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That's what Mary was doing. She was not consumed by the earthly things, like what kind of clothes do I have? Do I have enough clothes? Do I have enough food? Do we have enough money? Do we have a house? Do we have a home? I mean, where's the hospital? Where's the medical stuff? All these different things that we could consume about in their future. And she didn't care. She was sitting there thinking about the things above, the things that He had come to give peace, and the peace fulfilled in the word of God that He promised that He was faithful to. See, God's peace will give you serenity even in your storms and your chaos in life. Even when the things are filled with life of hardship and disappointment, that things don't go according to your plan, like Mary, God gives you peace. A peace that Paul says surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's not human wisdom to have peace in these situations. And it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard you from worry and fear and anxiety. It will guard you from worrying about the future. Guard you from worrying about the earthly things, the lower things. And keep your heart with the things above. See, you don't need to know everything that's going to happen today, tomorrow, in your future. You don't need to know that. You don't need to be worried about that. What you need to know is know the Lord. You need to know Him and His peace. And when you know His peace and you see a God who has provided for your eternity, how will not this God provide for your life now? You'll realize He's a loving, merciful, graceful God, a God of peace, who's in control, and so I don't need to be, because I know Him. And so, peace is necessary path for obedience to God's will. Look, the Christmas story, the Bible is filled with ordinary people who do extraordinary things, and the one thing they all have in common is they had God's peace. And while it's hard to hear God's voice for the extraordinary when you're filled with worry, anxiety, or worldly ordinary, when believers say, look, I can't witness because I fear what others are going to say. I feel rejection. I don't know what I'm going to say. I might say it wrong. And God says, this is peace. You have God's favor with you. God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And it's the word of God that changes hearts, not you. Live in that peace. When believers say, I don't want to serve. I fear I'm not good enough. You have God's peace. And God's peace makes you good enough. It reconciled you to God. And God is a God who uses the least things in the world to make the wise foolish. I mean, look at the 12 disciples. They were a mess, and yet they were perfect. I mean, believers, they don't want to give or tithe. Fear, not enough. What if something happens? I have to have this. And God says, here's my peace. Have contentment. Don't be focused on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. You have me. And all things in peace with Himself, the Creator will provide for you, not just your eternity, but for now. And believers don't worship regularly because of fear, so much to do, I need peace and my own quiet. But it never fulfills. And Christ says, here's peace. Here's the peace that comes to you. Look, come to me all who labor and find rest. Psalms 23, right? He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives you the peace, the strength to move forward with him. One of our grandkids, our grandkids got Legos, and they love Legos. And so they had to hold on to these Legos all the way home from Nashville, and they kind of broke them out that night as we were unpacking. And next morning I was up early, and one of the got up, and this is super early, he got up before all the other ones, and he just started walking past me real quietly, gently, as he's running, walking to the Legos. I knew where he's going. I was like, hey, have you thought about where are you going? He's like, going to Legos. I said, did you even go to the bathroom? He goes, oh, thanks, you pop-pop. I need to do that. And he was running to those Legos. And he got that gift. And he went there and he played. And he was just full of, I would say, peace. Because he used the gift. But what I realized is that God gives us these gifts, the speech and toys and relationships and things and vacations and all these things that yet they give you a peace, but it's a peace that escapes the reality. God's peace is not of this world. It's a peace that's not for escaping. It's a peace to be able to move forward in reality in difficult and hardships with a strength, with a joy, with a calmness, without fear. Because you know, because you have his peace that he's made with you. You're in harmony. You're in union with the God of the universe. God's favor, God's peace is for all. And it's in all who have faith and open the gift and use it. That's my call to you today. Heavenly Father, you have provided this incredible gift. It goes back to that old hymn, what peace we often forfeit, right? We have this gift, and yet we put it aside for other things in this world that we think that will take care of it. If we just get this done, we can have peace. If we just get this, we can have peace. If we can just get away a little bit, we'll have peace. And while the peace is right there in the simple things, like just reading your word, having a time of prayer and worship, and we pass it for the worldly stuff. Father, may this Christmas you call us out of that ordinary to the extraordinary, to your peace that is beyond this world, that is in us, that it may manifest in greater ways in us, that we become people of peace to others around us. Our world is always uncertain. Our world is always changing. But what's true is you do not change. Your message has not changed. So let us be people of peace to that world that needs it so much and to ourselves. And so as your children, Lord, we get to call upon your name and pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, there's an offering envelope. We have an opportunity as the God of peace who's provided for us to worship him and to honor him with the gifts he's given us. And so you can do that either QR code or the envelope. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. If you can take it out, you can fill out the back. We'd be so kind to do that. We'd love to hear. And if we help you with that next step, so you take a faith today, and maybe that's the next step of being baptized or becoming a member or joining in. Also, we have a variety of different events coming up. So we want to encourage you to commit to those for the ladies' Advent dinner just Tuesday. It's a great time, ladies. So please join in. And then also the Men Iron Breakfast is Saturday. And then we are going to host an open house at our home. And I'd love to have you there and have some time to celebrate this holiday in another setting. Also, if you want to help serve in those different areas, you can see, especially for decorating for Christmas Eve at our different worship venues, that would be on the beach. That we would love to have your help with that, or set up and clean up. We're excited for the Christmas Eve. We had our inlet training, and we're excited to be able to expand over to inlet and have a 2 o'clock service at that beach. And so today, I encourage you after worship that you would join us for a little brunch, a breakfast. What do we call it again? We call it the breakfast at the beach, and enjoy some of that fellowship and share the peace with one another. So with that, we'll continue our worship as we do. The ushers will come around, and you can put your connection card and your offering in the bucket as we continue to worship together.
Buried no more.
my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
God, we thank you that we can rest in the knowledge that that you are everything or you are nothing, God. And we say that you are everything today, Lord. And so as you guys go forth from here, receive this blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought the blood of eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing to do his will. And may he accomplish in us what is blessing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'll get better at that one as we go forward. That's going to be the new blessing. So, see you next week.